everyone. Welcome to the Voice of Social Sales. I'm your host, Chelsea Pites. A big thank you if you are a returning listener and subscriber. I appreciate you and thank you so much for returning. If this is your first time listening to the show, you're in the right place. If you want to learn all things real estate and social media, how to build a powerful personal and human brand, and generate leads through connection and community. Let's make sure that we're connected on the gram. I have a ton of free trainings on my IGTV channel and a free download from my book, What to Post. You can grab that on my Instagram profile link. And of course, I always offer a free Instagram bio audit. All you have to do is follow me and send me a message that you're coming from the show and you'd love to have your audit. So excited that you're here. Let's get into the show. So excited to have a dear friend of mine, a mentor, a wonderful human being, a mom, a wife, and of course, an expert on this topic, Leslie Gustafson, who I met, of course, through Snapchat many years ago and became very, very good friends with. And I'm excited to talk with Leslie today because we're going to talk about something we haven't really talked about on the show before, about imposter syndrome and confidence and fears around putting yourself and your brand out in the world on social media. What does that mean? How do we do it? How do we cope with things that happen when we do that? So Leslie, welcome to the show. Tell everybody who you are.
Oh, I'm so honored and delighted to be here. I just love you from the bottom of my heart. What a blessing it's been to find you on social media. And yeah, you are one of my nearest dearest. And so thank you for having me. I am Leslie Gustafson. I'm a master coach and a licensed therapist of over 30 years. I'm also a sex therapist, and currently all my work that I'm doing with women and couples is through my transformational programs. One is Amazing You, for women to empower and live passionate, purposeful, confident lives. And the other is our Dream Marriage program that I do with my husband, because we are both marriage therapists and have been helping 70 years together. So helping couples just have it all, basically have it all. Because one, it's possible. And so those are the things I'm doing now. And I'm I have weaned away from the brick and mortar private practice, which has been remarkable and amazing. And I love, love, love what I do. And I love educating. And I love situations like this when I don't know what the questions are and I get to pull from what I don't even know I know, and then I know it. And so it's always fun and challenging.
Well,
too.
You know what? I don't know what the questions are going to be either. So we're in the same spot, but this is going to be why it's so fun. So I know we're going to dive into some topics, but I have a question that just came to mind. So You have been in this industry and your expertise for decades, and I would say, and correct me if I'm wrong, but like, you know, when we met each other on Snapchat, we were kind of the oddities. We were not the general demographic that was using Snapchat, and we were using it for business. Yeah. And not only were we using it for business to educate and to talk about our businesses, but you were, you know, in a profession that I typically don't see embracing social media and really sharing. And I kind of, you know, kind of put like legal and attorneys and like, you know, therapy counselors. So talk about your experience with, okay, I'm going to use social media and I'm going to get out there. And really, there's not a lot of people that might be out there doing this. And was that scary? Was that exciting? I'm going to say it was probably exciting for you, but like, what made you want to get out and do something that was way out of the box for probably your colleagues?
Yeah, thank you. And I think I've been connected on social media. Once upon a time, there was a Psychology Today forum years ago where we as clinicians would talk. And so it started there for me in a safe forum. And of course, it just kept me online in the process of getting to know people online and not in real life. I think the tipping point as far as going bigger and broader was at the same time I had the opportunity to get on TV post the writing of our book, Amazing Intimacy. And Periscope was also...
Periscope, yes! Periscope. I forgot about that.
And a girlfriend of mine, Julie Bogart, who's, you know, been on social media, said, try Periscope. And I just jumped in like you do, you know, you just jump in and go, what is this? And what am I doing? And hi. And, you know, you then kind of learn, or at least my process has been, then I learn, you know, what it's for and what I can do with it. But my heart has been to educate and give over what I know to as many people as I possibly can in the world. And so it just makes sense that I use every avenue that I have. There was television, but then at the time there was Periscope and Snapchat, and there was Instagram, and there was Facebook. And of course, there's Clubhouse now. It seems never ending. But these are all places where you can deliver your message and influence and help grow people. And that is powerful. And that's the heart behind it. So then it's just like getting comfortable doing it and being able to deliver your message in a way that feels not only empowering to ourselves, because I think for me, it was also incredibly empowering for my own confidence and self to be delivering my message and my heart to the world, because that's what we're doing here. And like, what? That's mind-blowing. And it got very contagious. It is very contagious for me. And so, you know, I had a life of its own once I started doing that more and more on Snapchat in what was a very personal platform. So you don't feel like you're necessarily delivering a message to the world. Right. You feel like you've just got friendships there and we're all like in this hunkered down space. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. very personal,
right?
Which made it easier.
Right.
Have this sense of safety and security in that platform. That was different than Periscope, certainly different than TV. And you just get practice. And I love it.
Yeah. I love that you really exude, you know, when you're talking about helping men and women and couples be passionate and excited and happy, like that is what you see when you're watching your content. And I love that because, you know, you definitely feel that through your content. And I've loved watching you for years and years. And so that's amazing. And I think what you said was smart. And that kind of leads us into this next topic about feeling kind of like in this closed, safe environment, mm-hmm. Which I agree. I agree with that. And, you know, now we've gone viral in some cases and I honestly didn't like it. So we're going to talk a little bit about kind of what happens when you put yourself out there in sort of a more open environment where anyone can find you or anyone can look up a video from 3 years ago and what happens around that. So let's actually kind of talk about, we're going to kind of go back and forth between these two. So let's talk about like confidence and imposter syndrome. We hear this all the time. Like what do you call it? Do you call it that? Is this just sort of an overarching theme? And like, how would you sort of define this for people who just, you know, are struggling and saying, I don't want to post this. Oh, I'm not good enough. I'm not an expert. Oh no, I can't do this.
Yes. My way of thinking about imposter syndrome is where there is incongruence inside yourself, where inside you feel lots of different things, but you want to present not with all of those things that are going on inside. So inside you feel maybe perhaps fear or shame or not good enough or not adequate or not capable or not competent. A lot of times, almost everybody I've ever met has some bit of not good enoughness because no one has a perfect history. And so woundings have happened on our history where shame was integrated into our person and or fears or anxieties that still live in us and require healing and letting go of. Nevertheless, we're all in process. And so those things inside of us rise up when we're going to be seen. Because think about this for a minute. That's where injury originally happens for us in childhood, is in that moment when we're fully ourselves and someone maybe criticized us or didn't fully receive us, or we felt too extra. Or for me, my military father would like have this face that he would put on. And that's all I needed to know, that I was out of line. And so we take that in as children, like there's something wrong with me when I'm fully me. Mm-hmm. Which is a lie. Nevertheless, that's how we experience it. So then we're going to show up and we're going to stand up and we're going to be seen by others. And what happens for us is all of that can be right there with us. Like, I hope they see me for all my goodness and they don't poke at me, because when they do, it can poke at that part of ourselves that has doubt or worry or wonders if they're good enough or not. So it can be a threatening thing. I remember the first time in graduate school where I had to do a public speaking, I had to talk about Korean culture. And I was terrified of public speaking for all of those reasons. Mm-hmm. You don't even know it, but when you stand up, people are going to see you and you believe they're going to evaluate you. Now in class, they most certainly are. Mm-hmm. And in among my peers, listen to this, because we think they know something, it's more threatening.
Oh, yes.
Right? And so yes. There I am going, now it's different when you don't think your audience knows anything, because then you know something and you're teaching. But I stood up and I couldn't even do it. I just got a panic. I just was like, I can't do it. Is it okay if I sit down at my desk? And I just, you know, eked my way through it. It was horrid.
Oh my gosh.
Right?
I think we've all gone through something like that, whether it's a webinar or a public speaking or a presentation to a potential client. And you're just like, ooh.
And the first thing is to say to yourself, I'm never doing that again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So travel through many, many years. I'm a clinician now. I'm experienced. I know stuff. I've helped, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of people. And in 2004, I was asked at my church to do a keynote for the women's retreat weekend. And my first response was, no, no. And yet in my heart of hearts, I knew I had something to say that mattered. And that I needed to deliver that message because it's necessary. Mm-hmm. And that was the fuel that threw me into, you know, numerous keynotes that whole weekend. I was so rehearsed. It took so much effort and it went, it was so incredibly tense, but it went beautifully. And in that moment, I knew I was doing exactly what I was supposed to be doing. And it was powerful. And that was really kind of the trajectory there forward. Because it really is powerful when you can deliver something that has great meaning and you can impact and influence others and change their lives. Even if it's just a tidbit of information or a resonance they had with you and your story. That beautiful, I'm not alone, someone understands me, me too space. That's a gift we can give.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think everybody has that gift in their own, you know, whether it's their own niche or their own story.
Yes.
So feeling as though you're not good enough, feeling as though you might be judged, shame, all of those things kind of play into this idea of confidence and imposter syndrome. And, you know, last year, we all, if you were, you know, an entrepreneur, sales, marketing, whatever, if you had a business, you pretty much were forced to be on social media if you weren't already. And that was the only way we were seeing people. I mean, unless you had my Zoom number or link, you were not seeing my face or hearing my voice. So I think a lot of people really thought, oh my goodness, this is a newer world, or I really do have to get on video. I really do have to put myself out there.
Yeah.
And also there's a lot of, you know, I guess, you know, you might say something or it might be the wrong thing, or, you know, there's, you know, things that people are shocked to learn or whatever it may be. And I think, you know, people, at least for me too, I'm nervous about, like, what if my content isn't good? What if they don't like it? What if somebody says something mean, which they have? That's hard for me. And so I understand that, you know, how difficult it could be to get on video, and let alone get on video every day and make stories and make videos about your industry and your niche. And so what do you have for some tips that you might be able to share with us about how to deal with the fear of getting started? And then when it does happen, when you do get someone who eventually will disagree with your opinion, not like your content, or not even know who you are, and just want to say something terrible.
Yeah. And I think you just said the words that I was going to say was someone who does not know who you are. Mm-hmm. When we know who we are, there is great protection and balm and strength and confidence inherent in that. When we know our stuff, if you will, and even when we overcome our internal stuff and we come to terms with our humanity and our authenticity and who we are, and we are accepting and love ourselves, that there really does help that incongruence, that we're going to show up and somebody could go after my stuff and hurt me. And yes, it could still sting, but you have this beautiful protective layer of, but I know that's not about me. Mm-hmm. I know who I am, deep down to the core of who I am. And the more we get comfortable with being our real selves out loud, the more our confidence strengthens, because they can't poke at you if you're really you. You know what I mean? If you're congruent and you're showing up in a way that says, yeah, I got stuff and I'm human and I have fears and I have shame and there's a part of me that doesn't feel good enough, but I know that I am and I know I have something to offer. And you're showing up on camera, not protecting and defending and trying to keep people from seeing the stuff that's fully human. That's where it's challenging, because when we show up on camera and we start playing pretend in order to get through, it doesn't feel real to us and it doesn't really transmit to others. Mm-hmm. What transmit to others and what has the most power is a real person, being them real selves, authentic, imperfect, honest, well-intending, and trying. People cheer for that. People go, me too, I'm like that. And that's the power. But that's about us getting comfortable with who we are.
Right? I love that. And this brings another question that I'm going to ask you, which is hard because, I mean, you are you on video. And you know, it's hard for me too, because we're so used to it. I think it's been 6 years. We've never missed a day documenting our life, which is long time. So we're really comfortable with it, right?
There's still energy, there's still effort, there's still some trepidation.
Yeah. How do you, because you know, we forget because we've been doing it so long, it's weird at first. And when people say you need to be yourself, I mean, sometimes you're like, I don't really get what that means. Like, I don't understand how I show up as myself on camera talking to this device and nobody's there. And so I don't know if you have like things that you did or that you help, that you suggest to other people that might be tips on kind of how do you just press the button and go and just white knuckle it through like I did. Or tips on sort of confidence for that.
Yes, but we are both people who also are working on ourselves, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or we're in a process of personal growth. I don't think anybody can get around that they have to do their own personal work in order to be confident and empowered in who they are and to be able to face their fears and be able to discard shame enough and to know that you're enough. That takes work. It takes work. And, you know, of course, that's always my message. But if someone's like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to do all that personal growth, then it's really about just stepping up and turning on the camera and trying. And yeah, you may be horrified.
Just don't watch it back.
But it's the doing of it.
Right.
It's the practicing of it. And it's just, you know, thinking of getting on and chatting to a friend and not, if you can, getting outside of the worry about the evaluation and the judgment. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. You are the messenger. Do you have a message that's compelling and powerful? Do you have something to say? Then you are just the messenger. Don't make it about you.
That's very interesting.
Ultimately, it's not. And that came from a good friend of mine before I went on TV for the first time. He said, well, come over to my house. He had a long history in public speaking. He's an international speaker. And I said, well, I've got this TV gig. And he goes, great, come on over to my house. I'll tell you what you need to know. And we spent about 45 minutes and it was invaluable. Because he's like, it's not about you. It's about your message.
I
Do you have a passionate message that you think people need to hear? Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
I love it. I love it. And this kind of ties into something I've been thinking about. So you'll see this on my Instagram soon because it's been in my brain, but now I'm taking this as a sign that I need to actually put it out into the world. So I'll tag you in it. It's so this idea that I've been thinking and talking about is kind of this thing I've been doing with my own content too and struggling with is sometimes I won't put something out into the world because I'm looking at past content or I'm saying, oh, people won't like this as much, or this last one did pretty well and like, maybe this isn't as good. And so I have to remind myself daily, views don't equal value. Value is the message you're delivering and it will find the right person when yes. it needs to. And views, that doesn't mean anything. It's just a metric of information, a data point that I've personally put too much emphasis on. And so I'm definitely thinking like that's, you know, and that's where I think a lot of people go wrong is that they're like, oh, but this is boring. But if it's your expertise, if it's your niche, if it is your message you need to be delivering, and it's going to eventually build up and make a library that makes you credible and authority in your space, I mean, we have to do it. It may not be the fun, exciting dances that you and I like to do, but it's what it's the stuff we need to do. So
listen to how empowerment happens. Empowerment simply happens when we're uncomfortable and we're afraid, but we don't let that win. We push on through and we do it anyway. Mm. And it may not be amazing first try like we want it to be, but you just empowered yourself because you pushed through fear and created something and spoke it out loud or were seen, right? And so right there, that syntax is where the growth happens. The more you face your fear, the more you get on camera, the more you keep trying, the more you, then you grow and you expand and you get better and you get more comfortable and you get more confidence, and fear does not win. Mm-hmm. You do. You do, and that important message that is essential that can only come from you gets out in the world. Your message can only come from you because you are uniquely you. And if you are connected to your message in passion and it has meaning and matters to you, when you deliver it, gold. It's gold.
I love it. I'm loving this. And I think that we're all going to have to Venmo you like a couple of dollars because no. We just sat through like this amazing, like therapeutic session. So we'll all have to put your Venmo in like the show.
You get better and better and better and better and better and more confident. And then it gets fun. And then you get creative and you're like, what else can I do? And then you're dancing on TikTok, for goodness sake. And you don't care because it feels so great and it's who you are, right? Yeah.
Yes.
But every step of the way, you have to face uncomfortable.
Mm, right? I know I don't like that, but you're right. Dang it, you're right.
And it gets shed and it gets shed. But here's another thing. We need to be kind to ourselves. Let's not judge our own performance or our own videos. It's so easy to go back and go, oh my gosh, I was horrible. No, go back and hunt for the beautiful things that you pulled off. Hunt for the good that you did. Don't hunt for the thing that was wrong or not just right. Easily done.
Mm-hmm.
I used to sit there and I would, TV would be great. And then we'd watch the playback and I like snorted. I'm like, honey, Doug would be sitting there. I'm like, I just snorted. He goes, yeah. I go, I feel like you should have told me I snort. But you go, okay. But how was the rest of it? How was the right. whole of it? Oh my gosh, so much good happened there.
Yeah.
Let yourself.
No, we're our own worst critics. We always are. It's so
let
true.
Yourself have that.
Okay, I'm taking five amazing things
in yes. the one area you could learn and grow.
Yes, I love that. I love that. Okay, so final question is going to be an easy one and has really nothing to do with what we've talked about. But tell me about your current favorite social media platform, and if there's maybe a section in the platform that is like your favorite and why.
Well, you know it's Instagram.
Well, I think you might say TikTok because you've been really loving TikTok.
No, I don't really love TikTok. I don't.
Okay. Okay.
But I was challenged by TikTok when I saw you go on TikTok. And I thought, oh my gosh. And honestly, I saw the incredible views that you got. And I was like, what the? Mm-hmm. Let me try over there and see what it feels like and what happens for me. At first, I did not know what I was doing because it's like I forgot that I had a message and I was just jumping in there and having a great time like everybody else. And then yeah. I'm like, wait, Leslie, what do I do? Wait, what do I do? I'll start doing what I do on TikTok. And then things grew. Mm-hmm. And then Instagram has always been my favorite place since Snapchat. Mm-hmm. Right. And we have these social media trends, you know, you're the guru on that. There are trends. And right now I believe it's still Instagram mm-hmm. and Instagram knows it. And they're of course connected to Facebook and they're staying at ahead of the game by adding the next hot thing that everybody loves. So they added Reels. Mm-hmm. Right. And we already had IGTV. Sometimes you're like, oh my gosh, what more can be on Instagram? It's so complicated. But I love beautiful things. So I like to share beautiful images. I also like to be able to add journal kinds of entries to posts. That's always been a positive. And then stories, Snapchat, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of replaced Snapchat for me. And then IGTV did a little bit of that. I don't know that that really took hold. And now Reels, mm-hmm. which without question, they are really promoting. Mm-hmm. And I had a hard time like feeling like it was going to work like TikTok. I'm like, my views of TikTok are doing so great, but they aren't, it's not transmitting here on Instagram. My Reels aren't really getting the hits until they did.
Mm-hmm. Until that's what happened. You got to stick with it.
Oh my gosh. Because for the life of me, I could not grow Instagram.
I know we talked about that and you did value over views. Truly. You were like, I'm staying in my lane.
I'm like, it's just not growing, but that doesn't matter because there's still a beautiful audience here that I get to communicate to, you know, that I've got 4,000 or 5,000 people here. I'm like, that's great, but it just wouldn't move until Reels. And that's because I think they're really promoting Reels.
Yeah.
And it was a little bit of a challenge in my industry because I talk about sexuality.
I know. And that sets off the alarms on the socials.
And so I kept thinking, you know, I don't think they're going to let my stuff be seen here because of my topic at hand. Yeah. TikTok, somehow I managed to like slip in on a banana peel over there on TikTok and they're not screening my stuff. So I felt for a long time that they were screening my stuff on Instagram, but I did find a workaround. And as soon as I found that workaround, I had a very viral video and I went, whoa. And you know how exciting that is,
yeah.
Right? It's so exciting. And then you think, well, at least I had one, but once that one went viral, it was like I got found. Mm-hmm. And then Instagram continues to roll my next stuff through the algorithm. Mm-hmm. So that the next one would get views and the next one would views. And then I had one where I risked because it was fairly graphic. And I thought, oh, they're never, and it's the most viral right now. Mm-hmm. I was like, it can work.
I know. It's all testing. It's just testing and trying and all the things. I'm in major test mode right now. And I know I need to put a reel up today because I promised I was going to do three. And then I decided I was going to do three back to back just to see what was going to happen. So I don't know. And as soon as you figure something out, it's just going to change.
But here's an important point. Even though you can get some viral videos and everybody comes crashing on in and following you, they may not be your people. And that's
exactly
because you're trying to resonate your whole message, not just one reel. You want someone to then get to your profile, connect with you, and they become your people because they hear your message enough to go, oh, mm-hmm. right. Exactly. And they stay. So you can see people fall away and you can't be undone by that.
Right.
Because your people are your people. And if you keep communicating your unique message, they will stick. because they're meant for you.
You are my people and I'm so excited that we had this talk. And I hope that everybody who's listening that isn't already connected with you will follow you. Even though you're not in the real estate niche, you have a wonderful content, very positive, very uplifting, and everybody needs to learn about self-care and positivity and relationship advice. So I'm highly recommending that everybody follow you. And
well, thank you so much. I love
I'll put your podcast in here as well so that they can listen to that. And just thank you for always continuing to contribute to the community on the socials and in the real life. And thank you so much. Really excited thank to you have so you. Thanks much. For coming on. I really thank appreciate you. It.
Keep facing the fear and do it.
I'm gonna do it. Thank you, friend. We'll see you next time.
Love you, hon. Bye.